Okay, thank you very much for your kind words. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really good to be here. Thank you for turning up on this important football evening. I brought three DVDs with me from the past history of Manchester United over the last 25 years. And I want to use them as sort of parables. As I read the New Testament, the stories of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, I see so often Jesus is talking to people but using parables. Parables are everyday stories, stories about the normal things of life, but they have a deeper spiritual meaning. And he uses these everyday stories to teach people about the things of God and the ways of God. I've found just a few short verses from Matthew's Gospel as an illustration. So let's hear from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away. He sold everything he had, and he bought it." So ordinary stories. A guy who's rented a field is plowing it so that he can sow crops, and his plow no doubt bumps into something under the ground, and he scrats around, and there is treasure buried there because there weren't banks in those days. People dug stuff into the ground, and if they died, it remained there. And this guy has found it, and it's worth so much. But it's not his field. He just rents it. So he goes away. And he says to the man who owns the field, "Look, I'll buy it off you. What do you want?" And they agree a deal, and he buys the field. So he's got the treasure. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's worth selling what you have to get what you don't have, says Jesus. Like the merchant, the pearl merchant. He finds a perfect pearl of size and worth beyond anything he has seen before. But it's going to cost him. So he sells what he has so he can have what is of even greater value. Parables. Stories with meanings. My first DVD takes us to the end of season 1992-93. One or two of you may be able to remember that. A long time ago, my wife and I were invited to go up to Manchester United, actually 5 years earlier in 87. We prayed about it. We didn't feel it was the right move to make at the time. But 5 years later, they came back to me and said, we really would like you to come up. Will you consider coming up? And this time we felt it was the right thing to do. And due to the great goodness of God, it was a successful first season. Nothing to do with me. Everything to do with Sir Alex Ferguson and his players. But they won the first Premier League. And it was very exciting. We actually won it on the Saturday. Oldham Athletic were playing Aston Villa in Aston Villa's penultimate game. Oldham Athletic were in the Premier League in its first season, and they beat Aston Villa, and that meant Aston Villa were 4 points behind Manchester United with one game left, and people were rejoicing because that meant that Manchester United had won the Premier League. They were in top position, 4 points ahead and only three to play for. And I went in on the Monday and chatted to the club secretary as I normally did and his assistant, and they said, "Look, John, you've worked really hard this year, and we do appreciate all that you've done. Wednesday is going to be a special night. It's the last match of the season. We would like you to come along, and would you like tickets for all your family?" And I said, "Well, that's remarkably generous of you." He said, "Well, we'll give you a ticket for Anne and the two boys, and you can come along. It'll be a spectacular and interesting end to the season. This is the first time we've won the top division trophy for many a year, since 1967. So I said, that's great, thank you very much. Returned home, said to my wife, "I'm taking you to the theatre on Wednesday night." She said, oh, what song? A play? A concert? I said, we're going to the Theatre of Dreams. We're going to Old Trafford. We're going to see a football match. Oh, she said. But we went, all four of us, and it was a most enjoyable thing. But after the video, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But can we try the video, please? And this is it. And we may be able to try it with sound, I don't know. But this is Steve Bruce and Brian Robson holding the Premiership trophy. First time there'd been a Premiership trophy, and people are happy. And Alex Ferguson is happy. Matt Busby's still alive. He was very happy. Little flick to Dennis Irwin, who puts it away. And happiness and joy. So that was an absolutely great occasion. And I think we can stop it there. Video people, we can put the lights back on. Thank you very much. Let me talk to you about that night with a little bit of personal stuff. We left our home in Sale and got in the car. And if you know Manchester, we drove down the A56 towards Stretford and Old Trafford, and had a reasonable run until we got near what is now Sir Matt Busby Way, what was then Warwick Road. And we hit a mass of cars, and slowly we edged forward. I'd been given a pass for the car park office at the stadium, and we edged forward, and the noise and the atmosphere was quite incredible. There was happiness and joy, there were flags, there was singing. It really was remarkable. We moved slowly into the car park, and when I turned the engine off on our Austin Maxi, I think it was then. Do you remember those? They were rubbish. We were in the car, and my kids' eyes are popping out their heads, looking at all that's happening around. We can see the stadium on our left. We can see banners saying Malta Supporters Club and Cyprus Supporters Club and Australian Sydney Supporters, things like that. People have come from all over the world just to be there. I think there were 50,000 people outside the ground who didn't have tickets to see the game, but they'd come along. And when we turned the engine off, you could hear the noise and the singing and the excitement. And said, isn't it sad? And I said, no, love, no, this is happy. This really is happy. People are happy. She said, no, isn't it sad? All this just for football. I said, look, love, this is not just for football. This club last won the top trophy in 1967. Here we are, May 1993. They've won it again. That's a long gap. People are happy. That's why they're singing. That's why they've come from various parts of Europe and indeed the world to be here on this occasion. And she said, but it's not the end of war, is it? No one's found a cure for cancer. Famine hasn't been relieved. Poverty hasn't stopped. I thought, oh dear, should I have brought my dear lady here or not, you know? But all that is true. And some people follow football as though it is a religion. And it has some characteristics of a religion. You see them at Old Trafford. It's often called a cathedral. And people come to Old Trafford almost to worship their football team. And people sing there. When do you see blokes singing? You see them singing in church. You see them at football stadia. But very few other places, perhaps. There is singing. There is adoration. It's almost worship. There is commitment. People drive up from Essex all the way to Manchester to see games regularly. It costs them money. It costs them money for a season ticket. It costs them money for petrol. It costs them money for parking. It costs them money for lunch and tea. It costs them money for a program. It is a significant commitment in finance and in time. And there's a bit of a camaraderie that builds up. If you go to the same seat week after week, home game after home game, you get to know the people around you. There's a friendship developing. It's a little bit, but not as significant as the sort of friendship and fellowship that might exist amongst people in a church. So there's some characteristics of religion. in following your football team. But there's certain things that football can't do for you. Football cannot answer the key questions in life. Why are we here? Where do we go to? How do I find peace and purpose for myself? How do I deal with guilt about the wrong things I've done? Is there a God? And if so, what happens when we die? So there's a whole stack of spiritual questions that are the questions that sometimes we try and push out of our lives. But really, these are fundamental questions. And football doesn't answer any of them. It cannot give you any hope of life beyond the grave. But faith in Jesus Christ can do that. Faith in Jesus Christ can give us hope for now and hope for a future, an eternal future. Faith in Jesus Christ can bring purpose and meaning to our lives. Faith in Jesus Christ can give us a focus of how to live and why to live and what to live. Faith in Jesus Christ can transform our lives into something so, so very different. I know that because for me as a student in Nottingham, aged 19, although I'd been religious and church going throughout most of my life, all of my life, I met Christian people who shared with me that the God who I believed somewhere was up there actually can come to us and transform us and make us the sort of people he wants us to be. And you don't get that through football. There's a banner at Old Trafford that says, Manchester United, the religion. It's not true. You'll never find life eternal through Manchester United. Let me show you my second parable. We seem to be having a bit of trouble with the sound. Is it still a problem? I can talk over it. No sound on this one at all. Well, I will talk over it then. This takes us, in a moment please, to 1998-1999. It was the climax of a remarkable year when Manchester United won the treble. That is, they won the Premier League, they won the FA Cup, and they won the European Champions League. So if we can start the play, I'll try and talk you through it as we watch it. That's Sir Alex Ferguson. This is Wembley in May. We played Newcastle United. I got a letter from the club saying, the club appreciate all your work, Rev John. Would you like to bring a guest to Manchester United's FA Cup final at Wembley and go on the staff trip? So, again, my lucky wife. We took her to Wembley and we enjoyed watching United beat Newcastle. She particularly enjoyed it because she originates from Sunderland, you see. There's a bit of tribalism in that. So we beat Newcastle. Roy Keane is very happy. He lifts the trophy. Alan Shearer isn't. And there's Peter Schmeichel lifting the trophy. And there's the Man United fans, very, very happy. But a few days later, they fly out to Barcelona on Concorde to play the European Champions League Cup final against Bayern Munich. And again, I got a letter. Oh, that's Sir Alex Ferguson in the cockpit. He didn't fly it, but he got a seat there, you know. He's good, but he's not that good. Again, I got a letter from the club saying, we'd like to invite you to the European Cup final celebrations with the rest of the staff. Sorry, we've got so many people coming and so few seats. It's just you, it's not a guest, but we hope nonetheless you can come. So I was very happy, and the team went earlier. There's David Beckham and his legs. And they're just relaxing in the pleasant sun of Barcelona in May. Ole Solskjaer trying to learn how to pop snooker balls. There's Jim massaging somebody. And this is a sort of quiz. You see, Alex Ferguson is remarkably competitive. And he and the doctor, Doc Stone, are challenging two people in a quiz, and obviously he's very happy that he's got the right answer. And I think he likened it to horse racing, where someone's coming up on the rails to win. I think they'd been down in the quiz, but I think they got the last three questions right, and all was well. And Peter Schmeichel, if we could hear the noise, is saying that the unity, the sense of commitment and camaraderie amongst the players is the thing that has taken them this far. And there was a real sense of commitment to a team that was going to play without Paul Scholes, who was banned because of two yellow cards, and without Roy Keane, who was out because of injury. But this is the coach, and this is the new camp, the Camp Nou changing room, which is absolutely huge. And there's poor Scholesy thinking what it could have been, because he will not get the chance to play in a European final. And I was there. We were all assembled on the second level of the end, which saw all three goals. One very, very early, a free kick outside the box, and Basler, the German midfielder, came up and hammered it in, and I think after about 6 minutes, Manchester United were 1-0 down. And we could have been 2-0 down or 3-0 down in the second half. That's Schmeichel saving from Stefan Effenberg. And it was a great save and a great break. And then again, Bayern Munich came at us in the second half and attacked us strongly. And Basler cuts inside, Scholl takes over, and on his right foot chips Schmeichel, and it hits the post and bounces back. Well, the save from Effenberg, Scholl's trip. We could have been three down. We fight back a little bit. I think it's Gary Neville who knocks the ball in, and Solskjaer, who's come on as a substitute, gets a header in. But time is ticking on, and we're still one down. And then Munich get a corner, and it's half cleared. And they hit the bar. The guy next to me said, "Rev, we're still in it." And I said, "Yeah, we could have been 3 or 4 nil down." But we managed to get near to full time, and we get a corner. And Beckham takes it. It goes to Giggs, who shoots, and Sheringham hits it in. And there's happiness and joy on the bench. This is the 92nd minute. It's badly cleared. Giggs doesn't really hit it, but Sheringham latches onto it and pushes it in the net. Guy next to me says, "Rev, we'll go into injury time and extra time, and we'll beat them in extra time." They're on their feet, on their knees already. But it didn't take extra time. Beckham takes another corner. Sheringham heads on, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer volleys it in. And Peter Schmeichel's happy, you can see that. And I'm up in the stand behind all this happening. And I'm amazed at how people rush from the dugout towards Solskjaer. The players jump on him and celebrate. And then there's another wave that jumps on the players who've jumped on him as they celebrate. 90th minute, and it was Bayern Munich 1, Manchester United 0. And in the 93rd minute, we are lifting the trophy. Utterly remarkable. And that's our fans happy. Bobby Charlton's happy. And that's the cup. Schmeichel's happy. I could tell you, we can hold it that. I could tell you a story about the end of that. Was it Lennart Johansson who was the president of UEFA? And he was up in the VVIP guest area. And on 90 minutes, a steward came up to him and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Johansson, I think it's time that you moved out of the box here and caught the lift downstairs, because you'll be needed very soon at the presentation. So he moved out the box, caught the lift down, got all the way to the bottom, and was walking to the presentation area. And the steward said to him, "Sorry, Mr. Johansson, Manchester United have equalized. I think you should get in the lift, go back up to your seat, because it looks like extra time." So he left that area, got in a lift, went all the way back up to the top to go in his seat. And the steward said, "Sorry, Mr. Johansson, United have scored again. You better go in the lift and go all the way down." That's absolutely true. And that's the trophy. I think we can stop that there. Thank you very much. So that was the most remarkable end to a game I think I've ever seen. As I said, we are looking towards the Bayern Munich fans at the far end, and the scoreboard over there said Manchester United 0, Bayern Munich 1. And I'm trying to rationalise. I'm thinking, well, all you are is a chaplain, and they've invited you to this. They've paid for everything. They've put you on a plane. They've brought you all the way here. We've gone to the marina in Barcelona. Food has been provided for everyone. Some of the best lemonade I've ever tasted. It was really good. And then they've taken you by coach to the Nou Camp Stadium. You've got a free ticket. You've sat here. You've watched the game. Even if they lose, that's a wonderful treat. You've seen a Champions League final. I'm trying to rationalize this. And Beckham takes the first corner, and it comes deep, and it's cleared, and Giggs mishits it, and Sheringham knocks it in, and it's 1-1. And the people around me are utterly exultant. I tell you, they're so happy that even the orthopedic surgeon had a smile on his face. It was remarkable, and people were hopeful. And then we get another corner. It's knocked to the near post. Sheringham heads it on. Solskjaer volleys home. And these are the two memories I have of that moment. One is Solskjaer sliding on his knees, celebrating, and then being jumped on, and then with the group from the benches being jumped on again. The other memory I have is of the German players sinking to their knees, because they knew in 90 minutes the score was Bayern Munich 1, Man United 0. And now 3 minutes later, nearing the end of injury time, it's 2-1 to United. And I can remember players beating the ground with anguish and anger, because it was in their grasp and they'd lost it. And the referee tried to gather everyone together. He pulled one or two players to their legs again, to their feet, and he blew the whistle, and it went for 20 seconds or so, and then he blew again, and that's the end of it. And United win 2-1 after 93 minutes. And the reality is that the game does not end on 90 minutes. The game ends when the referee blows the final whistle. And I think life is like that. Just to cheer you up, friends, there is a final whistle to life. That put a smile on your face, didn't it? We know that we are not going to keep on living and living and living like this forevermore. We know there is a final whistle. We don't know when it will come. For some, it seems to come unreasonably early. For others, it seems to come graciously late. But we know a final whistle will come. And what is important is that you're winning when the final whistle comes. And Bayern Munich realized that, and Manchester United realized that. It's no good winning at 90 minutes. You've got to win when the whistle comes. And you can win with God. You can win with God by knowing that God is with you. That eternity is not something that you need to be fearful of or frightened about or concerned about. Because if in this world you know the love of God within you, if in this world you know God's presence and power and peace, the grace of God, the help of God with you, God will not leave you. Your body will fail, as all of our bodies will fail. But the real me inside is enlivened by the very Spirit of God. And that is a guarantee that God, who is with us now here on earth, will not leave us when we leave this earth. But God will be with us. And God will be with us into eternity and beyond eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth. And we can know this because of Jesus Christ, who came to this world so that people like me and you can know the love and the peace and the power and presence of God with us. Jesus came so that all that separates us from God, all our sin and all the muck and filth of our lives, can be dealt with and forgiven. Jesus came so that the spiritual part of our life can be filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus came so that the kingdom of God can come into us and control us. As I've said once already, I'm not saying this because I'm trained to or taught to. I'm saying it because I experienced it as a student in Nottingham. And it changed my life, really. It changed my life. I spent 5.5 years teaching in secondary school, and then felt God was calling me to train for ministry, went to theological college, became a Baptist minister, but God helped us and guided us. And ended up as a minister in Watford, chaplain at Watford Football Club. Was used by the Baptist Church to develop sports chaplaincy in the UK and beyond. Manchester United asked me twice if I would go up there. First time, I just didn't feel God gave us the okay on that. Second time, I felt God said, now's the time and that's the place. And all through that time, which brought many challenges, we knew that God was with us. The joy and the peace of knowing God is with you as you go through life. Awesome. You're not meandering. Hope you're on the right path. God is with you, guiding you on the right path. God is showing you the way. God is showing you how to live. God with us is awesome. I better move on quickly to our last DVD. Is the sound working on this one? We'll say yes. You better pray. I asked the guys at Old Trafford if they could produce for me a DVD that takes us to another significant victory. The first one was our first Premiership win in 92-3. The second one was our second European Champions League win in 1999. This third one is our third Champions League win in 2008 in Moscow. And again, I got a chance to be there. Got this letter saying, would you like to go to Moscow with the staff party and see the Champions League final against Chelsea? I said to my wife, look at this, love, letter inviting me to Moscow. She said, do you think you should go? I said, I better pray about it. Yeah, I think God wants me there. Quite incredible generosity. But we landed in Moscow. We were given food over lunchtime. We were taken to the appropriate, is it the Luzhniki Stadium? And we saw a game, which in a sense was a game of two halves, because Manchester United played really well in the first half, could have scored two or three goals but only got one, and right at the end of the half, through a couple of what I thought were lucky rebounds, Chelsea equalised. Second half, Chelsea played really, really well, and they could have scored a couple of goals, but didn't put it away, so then it went to extra time. And I sense both teams were very keen not to lose it. So it went to penalties. So some highlights of the final. Thanks, guys. Oh, we have music. I think we could stop it there, actually. It does go on But I'm aware there could be some Liverpool fans in the... It's an interesting clip because, see, I'm just an amateur. I'm quite interested in football. I've seen a lot of it, but you know, I'm not a professional. But as an amateur, I'm standing to watch the penalties because they were taken at the Manchester United fans' end. And I'm trying to evaluate which players are likely to score and which aren't. And when Ronaldo came up to take his penalty, I'm thinking, well, Ronaldo's a cert to score because I've seen him score so many penalties before. I know he practices. After every training session, he'd do some what we call spot kicks, dead ball kicks, 20 or 30 times just to practice striking a ball and making it go where he wants it to go. I thought, we're fine with Ronaldo taking a penalty. He scored from 12 yards before. He scored from outside the penalty box. He scored from 25 or 30 yards. I can't see Ronaldo missing. And, oh no, he's missed it. And then I'm looking at things as they unfold after that. And as John Terry comes up, I'm thinking, well, that's it. Because John Terry is captain of Chelsea, he's a leader of men, he's a guy with real character and bottle. I cannot see John Terry missing this. He's just got to score the penalty so that Chelsea can win the European Champions League. A man of his strength of character, of his leadership ability, he'll just eat this. He'll put it in the net and he'll be the great hero who won the cup for Chelsea. And I don't know what happened. I don't know whether he slipped. I don't know whether he looked in the wrong place at the wrong time. But you saw what happened. He seems to slice the ball onto the post and it misses. And the Man United TV commentator says, he's missed it, he's missed it. No sympathy at all, you know. Just happiness and joy, as there was around me with other Man United. Hey, we're still in it, we're still in it. Rev, we're still in it, you know. Everyone thought we were out and we're still in it. And I'm watching people come up. I'm watching our players come up and thinking, I'm not awfully confident about you. And I'm watching their players come up and think, I don't know. But when Anelka came up, I thought, oh, I think he's bound to score. He's not a bad player at all. He plays as a centre-forward, a striker. He's played for some very good clubs. He's played in European finals. Oh, I think Anelka will put this away. And he doesn't. And there's celebration on the pitch, there's celebration in the stand at the United end, and there's devastation, I suppose, in the Chelsea end. And the parable is this, friends, that footballers are no different from you and I, and me and you are no different from Ronaldo and Terry and Anelka. In this respect, we are not perfect. No footballer is absolutely perfect. No footballer does everything right all of the time in a game. Tackles can be mistimed. Not deliberately, but just because sometimes they are. A pass can be misplaced. It can be hit in the wrong direction, or it can have the wrong weight on the ball, so it doesn't go far enough, or it goes too far. Passing may not be perfect. Tackling may not be perfect. Shooting at goal may not be perfect. Free kicks may not be perfect. The ball was intended to go in, but it goes wide. It goes over. Or tracking of other players. You should have followed him, but oh, I didn't see him, or I didn't think about him, and he got behind us. Players are not perfect. And people are not perfect. And I'm not perfect. I don't want to tell you you're not perfect, but God is perfect. And that's our problem. Because the perfect and the imperfect don't match, they're not congruent. Which is why Jesus came to this earth. He came to come and deal with the imperfections that are part of us. Christians are not people who are goody-goody people, who think, hey, I'll live my life to the very best of my ability, and because I'm trying so hard to be so good, God has got to let me into heaven. Not at all. Christians are people who know their imperfections. They know they need forgiveness. And they found in Jesus someone who can deal with the wrong stuff that is part of us. With our tendency to be selfish. For our tendency to sometimes choose the wrong thought or word or action. Christians are people who are like beggars seeking bread, and they found food. And that's what this church wants to share with you. That they're not perfect people, but they found someone whose love and power has changed their lives. Not only their lives, but they found someone whose love and power can change your life too. You see, the folks here at Hamilton Road don't want to be selfish. They don't want to keep it to themselves. They want to share it. They want to tell you that this Jesus stuff is real. This Jesus stuff changes you. This Jesus stuff makes us the people God wants us to be. This Jesus stuff prepares us for heaven. It's wonderful now, and it gives us a hope for eternity. And if that is so, why wouldn't we investigate it and find out more and take it for ourselves? Because there's the offer, but there's also the need to receive the offer. So I hope through these simple little parables of Manchester United, we've had a chance to think. Nothing can do for you what the Christian faith can do for you. Football might be a religion for some, but it doesn't offer the answer to the key questions of life. We can think a little bit more about the 90 minutes, the final whistle, and think that Christian faith gives us hope, even in the light of death. And we can think about Moscow and 2008 and realize that Christian faith isn't just for goody-goodies. Quite on the contrary. It's for people who need forgiveness and know they need forgiveness. And it offers a new start and a new way of living and a new life with God. I hope you found that helpful. Can I pray just to close? Thank you. Gracious God, thank you that in all the uncertainties of this life, you have shone a light into darkness. In all the words that are uncertain and sometimes untrue, you have brought truth. And in a world that so often lacks hope and any certainties of a future, through Jesus, you have made it possible for ordinary folks like us to find hope now and a future forever in eternity. Lord God, we thank you on this Remembrance Day, thinking about those who died and gave their lives so others may live, and thinking about Jesus who came to this world to die on a cross and to be buried, and who rose again and ascended into heaven, so that those who hear his call will find that his message is true. and that life eternal can be found even while we live on earth. Lord, help us all to hear your voice. Help us all to understand your message. Help us all to find the life-transforming truth that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world and came to save sinners like us. Help us find him. Help us live for him. We pray in Christ's name.